Good morning and welcome to Redeemer. I'm glad you're here and hope that you will continue to join us online. And even if we, once we get back in person worship, if you can continue to join us online, we're glad to have you with us always. I'll remind you that we will be celebrating Holy Communion later in our worship service, and I invite you to get your elements for communion ready there in your home to celebrate with us. Also, remember that we have Vespers this week on Wednesday night. Join us as we continue to explore our theme of the Beatitudes. We are hoping to reopen for in-person worship on October 4th, depending on what the virus does after Labor Day and after the start of schools. So be watching for more information about that. We are planning to load a truck on Friday. You've been so generous with your donations. We're overflowing with them right now. We are going to try to split the those loading the truck into maybe two shifts so that we don't have so large a crowd and risk exposure to fewer people. If you are willing to help, it would help if you'd let me know, and then I can see what I can arrange about splitting you up. We will be looking for help, and I'll be calling. Some people have asked me about how to respond to the devastation from Hurricane Laura. If you'd like to make contributions here to Redeemer and mark them Hurricane Laura, we will get them to the ELCA Disaster Response Fund, where 100% of your gift goes for direct relief. Finally, for my announcements, I have to remind you that tomorrow is Labor Day, so we'll be closing the office. The office will not be open tomorrow. Amanda, your turn.
All right, it's my turn.
Oh, boy.
You always say it like that. So, next Sunday, we start our new book study. We're reading Native, Identity, Belonging, and Rediscovering God by Caitlin Curtis. So, if you would like to join us, we are inviting anyone and everyone, no matter where you are. It's on Zoom, so you can join us at 2 o'clock next Sunday. For those who already have their book, we're reading the introduction, chapter 1 and chapter 2. So, but if you don't get a chance to read it, that's okay. Come join us anyway. We would love to have you. I also want to thank everyone who has given financially and given in-kind offerings to our school supply drive. I have heard that the school supply drive is the most that Redeemer has ever collected, and it's a really overwhelming response. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Those school supplies have been a big help at sharing God's love and also in Williamsburg County, so we really appreciate that. Also, next week, for all of those youth that are 2 years old through sixth grade, we are going to kick off some Faith Launch. That's our version of Sunday School, and we're going to do it virtually. So I will be having emails out to families, and we'll be delivering some supplies, some different craft activities, and Bible stories and Bibles and things like that. So be on the lookout for that. Also, if you don't receive an email from me and you have a child that is in between the ages of 2 and 6th grade, please let me know. We would love for anyone and everyone to participate, no matter where you are, be it here in South Carolina or somewhere else in the country. So, those are all my announcements, Pastor Gary.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's get busy with worship.
Get busy with worship. All right.
Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, whose steadfast love is everlasting, whose faithfulness endures from generation to generation. Amen. Trusting in the mercy of God, let us confess our sin. Reconciling God, we confess that we do not trust your abundance and we deny your presence in our lives. We place our hope in ourselves and rely on our own efforts. We fail to believe that you provide enough for all. We abuse your good creation for our own benefit. We fear difference and do not welcome others as you have welcomed us. We sin in thought, word, and deed. By your grace, forgive us. Through your love, renew us. And in your Spirit, lead us, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life. Amen. Beloved of God, by the radical abundance of divine mercy, we have peace with God through Christ Jesus, through whom we have obtained grace upon grace. Our sins are forgiven. Let us live now in hope, for hope does not disappoint, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Lord, have mercy.
Let us pray to the Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord God, enliven and preserve your church with your perpetual mercy. Without your help, we mortals will fail. Remove far from us everything that is harmful and lead us toward all that gives life and salvation. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. It's time for our children's message today. And so first, as we get started, I wanted to see who's here with us. And so let me look in the camera here. Hey, Jordan, I see you, Jordan. And there's Charlotte. Hey. And Artie. Hey, Artie, good to see y'all. It's good to see y'all today. I'm so glad you're here. And let me see, how many is that? We got Jordan, one, and Charlotte, and Artie, and I'm here, and that makes five. You see, five, one, two, three, wait a minute. One, two, three, five. Is that right? No, that's not right, is it? One, Charlotte. I mean, Jordan, Charlotte, Artie, and me, and that makes five. No, that only makes one, two, three, four. But I said it was five. Do you know why? Because it's not just the four of us here. God is here too. Whenever we gather as a church, God is with us. And that's what we want to remember. Whenever we gather as church or whenever we gather with another person and we're talking about God, God is there in a very special way. And we can feel God's presence in our hearts and we know God is with us. So even though we can only see four of us with our Jordan and Charlotte and Artie and me, God's here too. And we can always remember that. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for always being with us. Help us always to sense you with us and to feel you near. Amen. Go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Our first reading for today comes from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 33, verses 7 through 11. So you, mortal, I have made a sentinel for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, O wicked ones, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from their ways, the wicked shall die in their iniquity, but their blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked to turn from their ways, and they do not turn from their ways, the wicked shall die in their iniquity, but you will have saved your life. Now you, mortal, say to the house of Israel, thus you have said, our transgressions and our sins weigh upon us, and we waste away because of them. How then can we live? Say to them, As I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from their ways and live. Turn back from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? Here ends the reading. The word of the Lord. Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 18th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the disciples, "If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly, I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them." The Gospel of the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Have you found Jesus? When I think about that phrase, I can't help but remember particular scenes from the movie Forrest Gump. Forrest had so many experiences in life, and one of them included being in the army in the Vietnam War. During a battle scene, Forrest saves his commanding officer's life. And Lieutenant Dan had been so badly injured that he had lost both of his legs. Years later, Forrest and Lieutenant Dan are sitting in his apartment watching New Year's Eve events on television. The lieutenant was wild-eyed and frustrated with life. Forrest sat naively soaking up every event and word with the purest of hearts. While rolling around in his wheelchair, suddenly Lieutenant Dan asks Forrest, "Forrest, have you found Jesus?" His reply, "I didn't know I was supposed to be looking for him." The conversation continues as Lieutenant Dan gets frustrated with his empty bottles of alcohol and rails on about the VA hospital staff insisting he find Jesus. It's an interesting question to me when people ask that. It seems to fit differently with different types of churches and in different parts of the country, but nevertheless, it comes up. Have you found Jesus? Another way some phrase the same idea: do you have a personal relationship with Jesus, your Lord and Savior? Those questions are interesting. Because in the scripture we read for today, it seems pretty clear where God shows up. Pretty much everywhere. We don't have to go looking for God. Verse 20 lets us know that where two or three are gathered in God's name, God is there also. God has claimed, named, and put fingerprints all over humanity and creation. So God is here. God is there. God is everywhere. And in the current state of the world, it's important to try and wrap our minds around God's presence, even when we are gathered together, but physically apart. God is still present. This verse reminds us of the importance of God's presence. However, it also reminds us of how God values relationships and community. When people gather, God is there. Community is so vital to the life and faith that anytime people are together, God makes a point to be right in the midst of that gathering. Relationships and community are that important. Community is vital, but being community is also hard. People are people. And as people, we carry baggage with us. There are differences of opinions, different lenses that we look at the world through, different cultures, different ways that we were raised as children, different priorities. While differences are something to celebrate, there are times that those differences also create conflict. And that conflict can lead to sin. And sin is anything that separates us from God or ignores God in our midst. Conflict and sin threaten the community that is so important. Our verses for today in the gospel start off with a hypothetical conflict. A member of the church sins against you. You talk with that person one-on-one and work to resolve the conflict. If that's not successful, you take a couple people with you to witness the conversation. If the issue still remains unresolved, you take it to the church, and the final straw is to treat that person like a tax collector or as a Gentile. It's important to note that none of these actions are taken out of revenge. These actions are taken as a step towards restoration of community. We might think that there are signs of punishment and excommunication, but we have to read a little closer. Jesus tells us that God is present wherever two or three are gathered. It says they gather. It does not say that they agree. Those taken as witnesses, those aren't people that are like witnesses in a trial, in a courtroom, testifying to wrongdoing. They are witnessing the conversation and the attempt at reconciliation. And when Jesus tells them to treat the person as if they are a tax collector or Gentile, we may be tempted to read that as an excommunication from community, that society certainly didn't favor tax collectors or Gentiles. But how did Jesus treat tax collectors? He called one to be a disciple. A tax collector was one of Jesus' closest friends and followers. How do we see Gentiles come up in the story of Jesus? Well, a Gentile is anyone that's not Jewish. So the wise men that came to visit the baby Jesus, they were Gentiles, and they were the very first to declare him a king. Joseph, when it was dangerous for the young Jesus, fled with Jesus and Mary to safety among Gentiles in Egypt. Jesus healed the servant of a centurion and the daughter of a Canaanite woman, all Gentiles. When Scripture writes that Jesus says to treat people we disagree with like tax collectors and Gentiles, it means that we are to continue to love them. We remain in community with them. It is in that community that we experience the real presence of Christ. Because this isn't instruction from Jesus only to the people of that time, we experience this too. Within Redeemer, we have people that disagree on issues, that may even view another person's actions as sin. In the same way, within the local community, whether you are worshiping with us from South Carolina to Michigan to California, all of this is also reflected in the society around you, in the society of our nation, and around the globe as well. It's tempting to form community in polar opposite ways. Either we ignore any differences, sweep up issues under the rug, and try to make everybody completely comfortable. Or we may be tempted to be completely intolerant of any differences and shun anyone who is viewed as sinful and not the ideal of the community that we have in our collective mind. Neither of these scenarios is appropriate. And here's where we really get honest about our community and ourselves. I have sinned. Even though I try really hard, because I'm a human being, I will probably continue to sin. And if we went around the room, or if we went down the comment box on the Facebook Live, that statement would be applicable to everyone. And that is where our scripture for today hits us in an uncomfortable spot. We often read scripture from the angle of us being the good guys, the ones offering forgiveness, the ones understanding all of Jesus' stories and getting all of his inside jokes. But when we flip the script, we look at ourselves as the ones being approached about our issues or our sin. What does it feel like to know that even if we don't listen to the first person who addresses us one-on-one, God is still there? And if we don't listen to the two or three people that talk with us, God is still there, and those people are there seeking reconciliation. And if we still don't listen, the community is there, treating us like Jesus treated tax collectors and Gentiles, offering friendship, community, wholeness, and belonging. That is what Jesus is calling the church to be. That is what Jesus is calling us to be here at Redeemer and out into the world. Jesus wants us to create a space here in this community that is a brave space, a space where God's presence is always acknowledged. We don't need to follow Lieutenant Dan in looking for Jesus, but create a brave space where we can be who we are, sin and all. A brave space where we trust the other people that they are walking alongside us in community and in accountability. A brave space where all are loved unconditionally. This is the type of space that Jesus is talking about in the gospel for today. Community built on honesty, trust, grace, mercy, reconciliation, faith, hope, and unconditional love. We are called together to be this community, We are also sent out into the world to be this community. And the most beautiful part is that God is always in the midst of community. Amen.
Gathered as God's people, we confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Almighty God, we are lost without you. Thank you for finding us. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for your generous love, which comes to us no matter how far we wander away from you. Walk with us in every moment of life, that we may feel close to you always. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of labor, we thank you today that you have given us purpose and meaning in our work, that you have called us into vocation, inviting us to serve others in our work and to glorify you. Bless all who labor, and in this time, especially those who are working in health care. In all we do, may we keep you ever in the forefront of our minds and lives. Lord, in your mercy. Prince of Peace. It seems like every week we pray for our world, which sometimes seems so far away from you. Bring your peace among us, Lord God. End the violence and bitterness and hatred that seems so common these days. Unite us in your love that we may live as your people. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Lord, bring your compassion on all who are hungry, who are poor or ill, all who are lonely or far from home. Bring your healing, your help, your strength to uphold us. Bless all your people, O Lord, and especially those whom we remember before you. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious servant, as you came to save us and to teach us about your love, guide us to live lives of love for others. Open our hearts. Work through our hands. As we have received mercy from you, may we give mercy to others. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection, open to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. The night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The body of Christ given for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. Let us pray. God of the welcome table, in this meal we have feasted on your goodness and have been united by your presence among us. Empower us to go forth sustained by these gifts so that we may share your neighborly love with all. Through Jesus Christ, the giver of abundant life. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Thank you.
Go in peace. Serve the Lord.